The Gospel according to Luke chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. The Holy Spirit has wonderfully left on record this glorious testimony that dear Luke was enabled to speak of concerning the glorious coming of the dear Lord Jesus. And I particularly want his help to look a little at this case of these shepherds. There are a few things that have so rested upon me, you see. First of all, the dear Lord did not make known the glorious birth of the dear Son of God, the Lord Jesus, to kings. And he didn't make it known to Herod, did he? But he made it known to shepherds and to the wise men and to Simeon and Anna and particularly to these shepherds. And we think first of all that this glorious tidings that the angel of God was to bring to the shepherds was that what was born a great shepherd, the Lord Jesus, a good shepherd, the Lord Jesus. He said, didn't he, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep and am known of mine. And we read of him being a great shepherd. And this glorious shepherd was to be the greatest shepherd that ever walked this earth. But secondly, what were the shepherds doing? They were keeping watch over their flock by night. Now there are two things. Firstly, they were diligent. They didn't just look after the sheep in the day, did they? They looked after them through the night. They watched over them. Let us bring it right home to us. How diligent are we? You see, a good shepherd naturally will be like these were. He'll be diligently watching over his sheep. How diligent are we in serving the Lord? How diligent are we in seeking the Lord? How diligent are we in prayer? Are we not only praying, but watching? And the second thing regarding the shepherds was this. There were many dangers that surrounded the sheep. And that's why they kept watch at them at all times. And particularly in the night. What do we read in the Word of God? That in the night season the beasts of the forest creep forth. I remember when my father kept many sheep years ago, and we used to, especially in lambing time, go around them in the night season to see whether the sheep were lambing or in need, and You know, it's amazing, the foxes, the badgers, the many things that creep forth in the night season. The dangers were there, you see. And so it is with the Lord's dear people. You see, the Lord Jesus so often likened his people to sheep, didn't he? There are many dangers. The hymn writer said, didn't he, dangers of every shape and form. But what a mercy it is we have a good shepherd that watches over his sheep and can keep them from all danger. And these shepherds, you see, they kept watch. But we think too of what the Lord Jesus taught his dear disciples, they should watch and pray. And you know, a person that really prays from their heart will be watching. It's like Hannah, you know, when she prayed for her Samuel, she watched for the signs the Lord was going to give her. Her requests. It's a good occupation, you know, watching. There are many things, and we particularly think of it as we come toward the close of this year and think of the coming new year if we're spared. There are many dangers, and we need to watch in two ways. We need to watch against the subtle works of Satan, because he's ever active. It's like the hymn writer said, being on our constant guard. And you know, these shepherds, as they watched their flocks, they were continually on their guard. The dangers were many. And may you, dear young people, and dear children, be watching. There are many dangers, you see. And the devil is not short of agents. He will either come as a roaring lion, and oh, do we not have to watch? If there were a lion lurking in this land, many would be watching, wouldn't they? For fear that he would attack. Well, think of Satan. He goeth about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. But then, there are many other dangers. The world creeping in. Our sin that plagues us. May we be watching lest we should sin and grieve the Lord. But then there's the other side, which is blessed really, watching for the Lord to work. I said about Hannah, how she prayed, you see, but she watched for the Lord to appear. It's like Manoah and his wife. What did they do? They looked on while the uncreated angel worked wondrously. They were watching the Lord work. And do we not need, as we come to the close of this year, to watch and think of the new year if we're spared, for the Lord to work? Now think of these shepherds, you see. They were keeping watch over their flock by night. They knew the dangers were great at night. But they were watching. Now may we lay these things to heart, you see. I thought so much as this word seemed to so rest upon me. There were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. But then, there's another point we need to just briefly look at, and it's this. In the night it's dark, isn't it? Many of the Lord's dear people walk in the night season. The hymn writer said, we travel much by night. And often when the Lord favours us in our early days and blesses us in the days of our espousal, we're favoured with his presence, we're favoured with those wonderful answers to prayer, we're favoured with the rich blessings of heaven descending, but then we seem to walk much in the night now. The days of darkness are many. And you see, that was the night season. But the wonderful mercy was, and there may be those of you that are walking in darksome paths today, and the way seems mysterious. The Lord here was to change that night by appearing to them. And oh, what happened? Well, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. Now, the first thing is this: the Lord was to change that night into day. What a mercy it is, you know, that the Lord has given us naturally. He gives us the night when men sleep. It's a wonderful thing, you know, the night is, when man and beast can sleep. But think about it. If it was always night, you know, if you go into certain parts of the earth where it hardly ever gets light in the winter time. And you know, darkness brings heaviness upon us, doesn't it? You often find a person that's not well, or they suffer with their nerves or some infirmity. The nights and darkness seem worse. But think about it spiritually. When we're in a dark place, we cannot see our way, we cannot see our evidences, we cannot see our signs. It's darkness. But you know, with the Lord's dear children, like these shepherds, they were to have that darkness turned into light. And you think how wonderful it is when the morning begins to dawn and light comes naturally into the earth. Everything changes, doesn't it? You can view the things and wonders God alone has done in creation. But when it's at darkness and night, you cannot see them, can you? But here, think of these shepherds. And what did they see? The angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. You know, it's a sacred place when the Lord shines forth and the glory is seen. Oh, it is. I've told you before, but I bear saying again, that when the Lord delivered me from under the curse of the law and blotted out all my sin, it wasn't in a chapel, it was in an old farmhouse where we lived in Kent. And it was in the middle of the night, toward the middle of the night. And all the darkness I was in because of those sins that plagued me so much within. Sins of every shape and form. And I could not sleep. I feared if I went to sleep, I'd wake up in hell. So great was the darkness. You know, when the Lord spoke those beautiful words, and the dark part of the night, audibly from heaven, as I lay and wept before the Lord, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? And I shall never forget the power. My inmost soul went out to the Lord. Lord, it's thee only I seek, and no other. You see, nobody else could do me any good. It was only the Lord. And it was only he that could turn that darkness I was in into light. And you know, as I said that before the Lord, right out of my soul, Lord, it's thee only I seek and no other. In a moment, before me, to the eye of faith, was the dear Redeemer on Calvary's tree, bearing all my sin. But what was so sacred too was this, the glory filled the room. And you know, I often look back to that, you know, and I think of these shepherds when the glory of heaven shone upon them. All the darkness of that night was all dispersed. And the Lord can do it today. There may be those of you that walk in darksome paths. Lord, do set me free. Loose me from all this darkness. And you know, as the Lord shone in that room, I've never forgot the glory. It changed the whole scene. And so it did for these shepherds. The glory of the Lord shone round about them. But oh, though in them they were afraid, the majesty of heaven. You know, there are many things that make us afraid, aren't there? While we walk this earth. But how many people do we hear are afraid of the Lord? You know, if the Lord brings home to us that he is a mighty and holy and an eternal God, and he has power to cut us off forever and put us in hell, but he has power to save. I that speak in righteousness, he said, mighty to save. And you'll know what it is to be afraid inwardly, lest you should grieve the Lord, yes, you should sin against him, because he has power to cut off forever. Think of the solemn case of Judas, and how today is in hell. The Lord is mighty, though, to save the very worst of sinners. Oh, he is. But they were sore afraid, and there may be those of you, and I lovingly say, there are things that are making you afraid today. You're afraid of yourself, you're afraid of your troubles, you're afraid of your afflictions, you're afraid of Satan. Many other things we could name make the child of God afraid. And here we read, they were sore afraid. They realised who was God in heaven and who it was that was speaking to them. And the glory shone round about them. And they were afraid. Not only afraid, but sore afraid. They trembled. What do we read in the prophecy of Habakkuk? He said, I heard thy speech, and was afraid. I remember your late beloved pastor, Mr. Sperling Tyler, saying once when he preached from that word at Stockfold, he said, "Friends, we don't hear many people today say they're afraid before God." But Habakkuk knew it, and so did these shepherds. But you know, the Lord wasn't to leave them in that condition, was he? He was to appear for them. And what does he say to them? Through the angel, now we're not told, it may have been Gabriel, but he brought the blessed message to dear Mary. The angel of the Lord. And the angel said unto them, "Fear not." You know, it was a word they so needed, didn't they? And as you come toward the close of this year, you may have got those many things that you're afraid in, many things that cause you fear. We're creatures of fear, the poet said, and we drag along and fear where no fear is. But the angel was sent to bring this blessed message to them, "Fear not." Fear not. What was he doing, really? Well, he was calming their troubled breasts. Now, do you know what it is for the Lord to calm yours? Well, let me come low. Do you desire that he would come and calm you? You know, some beautiful words throughout Holy Writ, isn't it? Given by the Holy Spirit. Of the Lord calming the hearts of his people. And he says to them, "Fear not. Fear not." Why they not got a fear? Well, everything they were in was in the Lord's hand. And you see, often we look at our troubles, our afflictions, the many sins that weigh us down, and we're afraid, and or it may be Satan attacking us, or affliction comes upon us, and we're afraid. And we cannot get out of that condition ourselves, can we? Man may assure us, "Well, you no need to be afraid." But it's only the Lord that can speak this, "Fear not." And when he does, it will settle the child of God, "Fear not." Why? Because it's all in the Lord's hand. All that they were in was in his hand. You know, we sing these things in the hymns, don't we? But there's that beautiful couplet, "All events at his command." You know, we often forget that, don't we? There's nothing comes by chance. It wasn't by chance these shepherds were there keeping watch over their flock. It wasn't by chance that the angel of the Lord came to them. It was all in the Lord's hand. All events at his command. And this sacred event was all in the command of the Lord. It hadn't come by chance. And the Lord was to send his angel with this "Fear not" to them. The first text I ever preached from here was a "Fear not." The day after your late beloved pastor was laid in Mother Earth. "Fear not, little flock. For it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." And oh, may the Lord whisper that word to us as we come to the close of this year. he gives you the kingdom, poor soul, it'll be well while life endure. It'll be well when you're called to die. Oh yes. The kingdom is yours in glory. We've seen, haven't we, those taken home to glory in this past year. None of us know whether we shall be spared to see the close of 2017. But oh, may the kingdom be ours. The kingdom of heaven. Then he says to them, fear not. Why? For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. You know, there's no doubt there may have been those that would have said when they saw this come to pass that the angel was bringing them bad tidings. And that's maybe what they feared. You know, we live in a day where there are many bad tidings being heard, aren't there? Sometimes we wonder what we will hear next. But here was a sweet and sacred and blessed occasion when it was to be good tidings brought to them. Tidings that the blessed saints had waited for many years, like Simeon and Anna. And there may have been, we're not told, but those among the shepherds that had waited for these tidings. Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. Now, a few things I just want to briefly look at here. First of all, this blessed angel was to bring them these sacred tidings. And what a mercy it is to be the favoured person to bring the good tidings. I was talking to a dear friend in Canada yesterday and, you know, we were saying of the times where, and she was saying of when she's gone to the house of God and her husband too, and the dear servant of God has come right where they were, and the message has been such good tidings to them. Just as though he knew everything they were in. And you know, one looks back and I think through the year have been those times where different ones in this country have said to me, you know, it's been wonderful because you don't know what we're in, but you came exactly where we were. Oh, to be the messenger of a good tidings. And the tidings, you see, must come from heaven. This is where the tidings were to come. This is why they were good tidings. You know, bad tidings come from man and come from the earth and come from Satan, don't they? But good tidings will always come from heaven. I mean it spiritually. Oh, the good tidings that the angel was to bring them was that the precious Son of God was born. And what tidings it was, wasn't it? I bring you, but then let's look at this. It's personal, you see. Not only to the shepherds, but it's personal to each one of God's dear children. They want to know these good tidings. that Christ was born into this earth to suffer, bleed and die for them, for you, for me. One of the first words of sweet encouragement the Lord dropped into my heart was in that couplet of the hymn, or the verse of the hymn, "The time of love will come when you shall clearly see not only that he shed his blood, but each shall say for me." It's personal, you see. Good tidings of great joy was to come to them. I bring you good tidings. Oh, may it be today. And what good tidings it would be to your soul and mine, wouldn't it, if the Lord were to speak pardon and peace and the sweet assurance that the dear Saviour came into this earth to redeem your soul and mine. You know, the Lord assured Job of it, didn't he? That the dear Redeemer came for him all those years before Christ was born. And what did he say? "I know that my Redeemer liveth." And how did he know? Because the Lord had revealed the dear Redeemer to him all those years before Christ was to be born into this earth. "I know," he says, "that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall appear on the earth in the latter days." I bring you good tidings, but then I just want to hint at this, of great joy. That seemed very sweet to me, you know, when this text got dropped in. Of great joy. Let us look at it in one or two ways. First of all, it wasn't temporary joy. You know, a lot of things that we joy over are just temporal and they're soon gone, aren't they? And soon finished. This joy, which the angel was to bring to them, was lasting joy. Now you think of that today. Oh, that we might have that lasting joy in our souls. Joy that no man can take from them. You think of the sorrowing disciples when Christ told them he was going to leave them and go to Calvary and suffer, bleed and die, and they got to walk alone. And what do we read? He said to them, "Ye now therefore have sorrow, but listen, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man shall take from you." And they cannot, and they couldn't from the disciples. He was lasting, you see. And may we know that in our souls, eternal joy, and it's to be known and tasted here in time, and the fullness of it will be known in heaven. Great joy. But then, secondly, it was not feigned joy. There was nothing false about it. It was real. Oh, it was. And that seemed very sweet to me. It was real joy, you see. The joy that Christ was born, their mighty Saviour, their mighty Redeemer. And it was so real to them. You know, we need things that are real, don't we? Not just what we think or man say so, but to know the reality. The hymn writer said, didn't he, "Real religion's more than notion. something must be known and felt. The blessings are real. The tokens were real. The assurance will be real. The answers to prayer will be real. May our poor ministry be real. And it will be if it's of the Holy Spirit. What we need is reality, you see. Years ago, there was a poor literate old man that was a member of one of our churches. And he hardly knew how to put one word in front of the other. Many used to laugh him to scorn as he prayed in public. But one thing he said was this. Instead of saying, Lord, we want realities, he said, Lord, we want royalties. And then he laughed at him. But you know, there's a lot of truth in that. We want those things from the royal kingdom, don't we? The kingdom of heaven. And that dear man, you know, he knew it in his own soul. And he was so real in his prayers. He was honest in his prayers. They came out of his heart. You know, real prayer that's indicted by the Lord will surely hear. And he will bless this soul with real things, real joy. And the disciples were to be favoured with it, weren't they? And you think after the resurrection, oh, the joy there was in their souls, and no man could take it from them. And may there be those here that may be cast down today, full of sorrow. The Lord give you a taste of real joy, and all it will be Jesus only. I bring you good tidings of great joy. And oh, may the Holy Spirit grant it to us. That real joy. Is heaven begun below? Here was one to be born to them, who was to redeem them from all sin, redeem them from all evil. It's none but Jesus can do helpless sinners good. But I must leave it because of the time. He says, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, you see, he spoke to them, and may the Lord speak this word to us at this sacred season of the year. Fear not, for behold, they got to view it, they got to see it, this important message, and they got to know it. I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. Oh, what blessed tidings were to be given to them. And may the Lord grant it to us at this sacred season. Amen.